long winter, so it's hard to imagine that in a few short months we'll be able to eat fresh produce once again straight from the garden. But spring will come, and it always does. Our guest this hour says she has some inspiration for eating fresh foods straight from the farm. Good morning, I'm Cynthia Schuster, in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. What do you plan to grow this year? What foods do you like to look forward to as the spring comes around? What do you like to buy at the farmer's market? And how do you use those ingredients to make delicious seasonal meals? You can let us know at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Our email address is talk@wpr.org. We're joined by Susie Middleton. She's a cook, writer, and a farmer who started commercially growing vegetables in 2010. She's the author of Fresh from the Farm, A Year of Recipes and Stories. She blogs at sixburnersue.com. Susie, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Cynthia. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. Staying warm.
Well, good. That makes one of us. What inspired you to pick up and move on to a farm? Tell us about your life before that and what a big change that was for you.
Well, it was a big change, Cynthia. I was editor-in-chief of a magazine called Fine Cooking in Connecticut. I'd been an editor all my adult life and a cook. I was a trained chef, and I was working a lot with food and producing stories about food, but I was so busy that I didn't have time to actually go to a farmer's market even, or grow a little of my own food. And I began to feel kind of disconnected from the source of my food. And I think I had really strong, fond childhood memories of going to farm stands and growing some vegetables with my dad. And I really kind of felt the need to get back to it. And so I made a big life change. I decided to start writing cookbooks to leave my full-time job. And I moved to the island of Martha's Vineyard, and I started a little vegetable garden. And fast forward 6 years, and I have a small farm and 500 laying hens and a farm stand and three cookbooks.
Well, that's quite a transition. Were you, did you have a background in farming at all? What kind of preparation did you have to make to even make that happen?
No, you know, I had grown, I'd had home vegetable gardens, and so when I started out here, I met somebody who also wanted to do it, and we kind of dove in together, and I learned a lot from the farmers on the island. We live in a pretty small community up here, which is having a real resurgence of support for local food, and there are a lot of farmers. So people were really nice and opened their farms to me, and I went and did a little work on them. I helped people out. And then my partner Roy and I just really started very small. I mean, we got 8 chickens, then we got 50 more, and then we got 200 more.
Wow.
And we did the same thing with the vegetables. We started really small, and we learned about, you know, soil fertility and water management and pests and all these things that you figure out you have to deal with.
Tell us about Green Island Farm. What makes it special?
Well, it's very cute. It's really small, but we have a really vibrant little farm stand. We're now selling eggs 365 days a year, so even in this ice and snow, people are trundling down our dirt driveway and coming to our little refrigerator and buying our really delicious eggs. And then we have a little hoop house where we grow greens now, so I actually have a little bit of lettuce, which is nice, and a little arugula. And then actually now that the daylight's back to 10 hours a day, the greens start really growing again, and so we'll have some nice harvests in March. But I think it's just the experience of coming here that people like, and the fact that it's small, but we make it. And this year we're planting another quarter acre of vegetables, and it's just the two of us with an occasional part-time helper, so we're going to probably have all that we can manage to get the farm stand supplied with a lot of yummy vegetables, you know, that we'll do for probably about 9 months of the year.
What are you growing right now?
In the hoop house, I've got all kinds of lettuce, arugula, some kale, and some Swiss chard that I've brought through the winter, and a little bit of cabbage and broccoli that I'm experimenting with that I planted last fall. And then in the springtime, we'll transition out to the garden, and we'll start with a really cool vegetable, baby bok choy, and our first carrots. And then the peas will come, and we'll be getting all the rest of the greens in the garden. And we grow a lot of potatoes, especially a variety called French fingerling. And then we do all the summer vegetables. We specialize in green beans and cherry tomatoes. and we sell a lot of those. And then we do the fall bed. We do eggplants and peppers and a little bit of corn, and then we do the rest of the fall vegetables too, squashes.
You're getting me excited for the spring, and it just feels so far off up here in Wisconsin. It's been a long winter.
I know, even for us, believe it or not as bad as you guys, but it's you know, it's pretty messy.
Yeah. This sounds like a lot of hard work, and I know that farming isn't easy. Does it feel like it's a harder job than your previous job, or does it feel, in a way, more fun?
Well, Cynthia, you know, it's really rewarding. People ask me that a lot because we do pretty much work all the time. And since I'm writing also, and my partner is a builder and a carpenter, he works off the farm as well. So, you know, we're transitioning to doing more farming, but the reality of that is that, you know, doing a small farm is you're probably always going to be doing a little bit of something else. So we're used to pretty much managing our time, but it's our time, which is really cool. And we're our own bosses. We started an LLC last year, so we had this cool little small farm business, and it's very rewarding. So having worked in an office for, you know, more than 20 years, and I really was lucky. I had great jobs, and I got great experience from that, but I enjoy this life now, also because I get to spend a certain amount of every day outdoors, which doesn't sound very appealing right now, I know, but in the nicer months, it's really great to be able to get out and clear your head, you know?
Mm-hmm. What surprised you along the way?
Oh, gosh. Well, for actually growing vegetables, there's a ton of challenges. Pests, bugs that eat things, and how to, you know, get everything irrigated when it's really hot and there's no rain. And but, you know, there were really good surprises, too, because I just, you know, I can't believe I can actually grow these beautiful vegetables that I also love to cook with, you know, in big quantities. I really get a huge kick out of harvesting. That's the reward when I go out to pick green beans or pull up some baby bok choy. It's just, the vegetables are beautiful to me, and so it's really cool.
Mm-hmm. What was your learning curve there? I've only gardened for a couple of years, and I can say I'm pretty unsuccessful as a gardener. And my tendency is to say, well, I can't grow that. I'm going to try something else next year. Did you encounter that? And then did you defy it in some way? Did you not give up, unlike me?
Well, I think, you know, just to make you feel better, it is like there's always something that comes and, you know, wipes out something. To answer your question directly, I did give up on a couple of things. Like the first year we grew peas, they didn't do well at all, and I thought, well, I'm never growing peas again. And then eventually I realized I really wanted to grow peas, so I skipped a year, and then the next year I planted them, and I read about them. I'm a reader, you know. I like to, you know, kind of figure out what's going on, but really a lot of it's trial and error too. I realized that year when I grew peas that the birds eat the seeds, and that's what half the problem was. The seeds never germinated because they were gone. The birds had eaten them. So I figured out a way to cover up the seeds now so that they actually germinate. Once they germinate, peas in particular do really well. Now, there are other things that germinate, and then something else will get them. But I have tried to come back to things that haven't worked. I must say there are some things that still are confounding me. So I've learned to grow a lot of what we do well. So that's part of the strategy.
Yeah. We're talking with Susie Middleton. She's author of Fresh from the Farm, A Year of Recipes and Stories. She also blogs at sixburnersue.com. We're inviting you to the conversation as well. What do you enjoy growing? What do you like to cook with? And perhaps you're inspired by Susie's story of picking up and moving out to the farm and starting your own life out in the gardens and in the dirt. Sounds appealing to me right about now. You could call 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Our email address is talk@wpr.org, and we'll look forward to spring this hour with Susie Middleton. I'm Cynthia Schuster, in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking with Susie Middleton this hour about how to get inspired for our spring crops or summer crops, what to eat fresh from the farm. We invite you to join the conversation at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Our email address is talk@wpr.org. You can also find us on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Susie, you were talking about how you've learned to love growing your own ingredients and going out to the garden and harvesting your green beans and everything. How has your experience changed the way that you cook?
Well, it's been really fun because I love cooking with vegetables, as I said, but it's given me new varieties to cook with and sort of demystify for people, because what I do is develop recipes and I try to do really classic, yummy American things. And for instance, we started growing rhubarb, and that was one of the funny things that I had trouble with. It kept rotting, which, you know, it seems like an easy thing to grow, but I finally got it, and we finally got our first strawberries. And so now all of a sudden I'm able to develop, I've developed this really yummy gingery strawberry rhubarb crisp with brown sugar pecan topping, and that was really fun for me because my first two books, I mostly concentrated just on vegetables. So, for instance, now I can play around with fruit and other varieties of vegetables, like little fairy tale eggplants, which or sunburst squash, things that people probably see in the farmer's market and aren't exactly sure how to cook or how to cut them. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I do, is help demystify things like that. So having the availability, you know, right out my back door to go and play around with those things and try slicing them and grilling them, or, you know, cutting them in half and roasting or sauteing, figuring out and then letting people know. It's especially fun when they come to the farm stand too to say, hey, this is how you cook this. So it's been fun for me.
Give us an example of one of those vegetables and how you would use it.
Well, the fairy tale eggplants are a fun one because they look like a regular size eggplant. They're just mini. So what I do is I leave the stem in and I slice them lengthwise like three or four times so that they kind of fan out. And I brush them with olive oil and salt and a little herbs and put them on the grill, cover the grill, and they collapse and spread out so that these really, really pretty little fans. And then I serve them with a very simple little Asian dipping sauce of soy sauce and ginger and garlic. So they get that really nice melting texture of eggplant, but they're kind of pretty and fun too.
Hmm. You started raising chickens, as you mentioned, and you have how many now?
We have about 500.
Oh, my gosh.
We've lost a few to some hawks, but and we're probably going to get 200 more. It's a lot. You know, my partner is a builder, so he can do he salvages a lot of wood, so we're able to build the coops. And we do very large outdoor pens, so they're free-ranging, but they are you know, prevented from going over to the neighbors, which is good.
What do you feed them in the winter? I know that chickens like to graze and peck at all the things that are lying around on the ground. And there's with the snow, I imagine, it's hard to have a healthy diet.
Yes, and, you know, they do eat a lot of bugs. People don't realize that. In addition, when they're free-ranging, they eat grass, obviously. But believe it or not, they find some things outdoors. But all of our chickens are on a grain-based diet, too, and they eat a lot of grain. They just eat more in the winter than they do when we finally get the grass growing. And we're going to move their pens this spring so they have some fresh grass, and so we manage that, but we do, you know, have to buy quite a bit of chicken food.
Yeah, I bet. Robin on Facebook says, I want to know more about the hoop house. That's all we have. So tell us all about your hoop house.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking about that, Cynthia, because I said hoop house to you, and I thought, well, maybe people might not know what that is, because, you know, you would assume it is a greenhouse, but it's a little more simple structure. It sort of looks like a Quonset hut. It's hoop-shaped. But it's just metal bars that are pinned to the ground and then covered with a very heavy-duty plastic. And farmers do a lot of these days, and either very small. Ours is just 50 feet long, and I think it's 25 feet wide. And we built it ourselves by buying the materials, but because they're really expensive if you get the kits. Although there are some government programs that will help young farmers build these hoop houses. You know, with grant money, and you know, that's certainly something to look into. But you can do a really small one at home too, just like a 10-foot long one with plastic you buy online and metal electrical conduit that you can buy at a home store. If you're got somebody handy to do it for you. And basically it changes the zone that you're in. So Wisconsin becomes, I don't know. I don't know what it would do there, but it would make it, you know, a little bit warmer so that you're able to stretch the seasons. Mm. And they're absolutely fabulous for growing greens, you know, all the way through Christmas. And if you're in the right place, you can carry them through the winter, too, by actually covering the beds that are in the hoop house with another layer of either fabric or plastic. And that brings you into yet another zone that's a little bit warmer.
What would we be starting to plant in those hoop houses right now, or what seeds should we start to germinate?
Definitely lettuce, and you know, if you, most of the greens need 50 degree temperatures to germinate, so you'd have to. My hoop house does get up between 50 and 60 degrees most sunny days, so some days it's as high as 70 degrees, even when it's 25 outside. So it's pretty amazing. But as long as the soil is 50 degrees, you can plant all the lettuces, arugula, bok choy, kale, and then, you know, in April and May, you'll have a really nice harvest of those things.
Hmm. Are you in the hoop house year-round?
Yes, because we planted the things I told you earlier, and we carried them through the winter. So, and then we actually also use the hoop house for seedlings, which if you start growing a lot of vegetables, you realize that you have to start a lot of your own plants. You can't afford to go to the nursery and buy them. Plus, you want to start your own because you want the varieties. And so the thing to do, you know, if you're a home vegetable gardener, you start things inside under lights on heating pads if they are warm weather vegetables. But once you get up into hundreds and hundreds of seedlings, that gets to be tricky. So you can do a lot of that in a hoop house, so it creates more room for you.
1-800-642-1234 is the number to call to join our conversation. Maybe you have some questions about how to grow what you want to grow in the garden this year, or how to use certain vegetables in your recipes. Again, our phone number, 800-642-1234. Our email address is talk@WPR.org. If you're on Twitter, we are at Joy Cardine Show. Susie, speaking of greens, why don't you share with us one of your favorite salad recipes?
Oh, gosh. Well, the book is arranged by season. I start with late spring and early summer, which we've been talking about. And that section, I actually have quite a few yummy salads, which I think probably my favorite is a variation on the famous Cobb salad, which uses spinach and has blue cheese and hard-boiled eggs and Derby dressing. And I do something I call a spring celebration salad with crab cakes and avocado chive dressing. And that's really yummy because I do really good crab cakes. And I like to bring greens into kind of a festive mode and use them for something other than a side salad. But that said, I also have a yummy bib and fresh pea salad with herb buttermilk dressing and crispy bacon because we love to have bacon with our greens. and then I really enjoy using this baby bok choy, which I've been telling you about, which is an easy-to-grow vegetable, and we found it's very popular at the farm stand. It's sort of a mini cabbage, but very delicate. And I do a spicy Thai shrimp and baby bok choy stir-fry in a stir-fry pan, very easy, and just enough, you know, fun flavors to really highlight that vegetable. Those are some of my favorites.
And going into summer, you said you grow a lot of cherry tomatoes. If it were me, I would think, geez, I'm tired of cherry tomatoes. I have so many. What do you do to make, you know, versatile dishes and not get tired of them?
Well, I do a lot of fun things. I make a grilled bread salad, which is sort of a Mediterranean dish with tomatoes and olive oil and grilled bread and feta cheese and cucumbers and fresh oregano and basil. And I make a quinoa salad, and quinoa is, you know, very popular these days. And I put cherry tomatoes and fresh corn and zucchini and cilantro and lime and, you know, lots of cherry tomatoes. I even cook cherry tomatoes. I do something at the end of that chapter called the Last Hurrah Cherry Tomato Gratin, which Cherry tomatoes are so sweet that they actually, if they're cooked just enough to kind of pop, and they get very sort of caramelized if you spread them out in a shallow casserole dish and toss them with some olive oil and herbs and put a little bit of cheese on them and just bake that. It's a really simple thing, but it comes out almost like a compote. It's really intensely flavored. You could have it with grilled meat or, you know, just serve it over a little pasta. So it's very versatile.
Hmm. Tell us how your farm stand works. Is it's self-serve, as I understand it. Have you had problems with that?
No. Somebody asked me that yesterday, and we started out with the farm stand. It was really tiny. We had it at the end of our driveway, which is this little dirt driveway, and it was right out by the side of the road, and we did have, we had some lettuce that kept going missing, and we finally figured out it was this little old lady, and we think she just needed lettuce and didn't have the money for it, but at any rate, we have had some shortages over the years. We moved the farm stand closer to the back of the house, actually built a bigger farm stand, which has an area behind it where we wash all our eggs.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we're out there a lot more, so even though it is the honor system and self-serve, we're around a lot. But we really have not had big problems at all. Occasionally we'll be short $5, and then the next day we'll have $8 extra. So
somehow it
seems to work.
Yeah. We're talking with Susan Middleton. She's author of Fresh from the Farm, A Year of Recipes and Stories. And we invite you to the conversation at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. I'm Cynthia Schuster, in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Although snow still covers the ground, soon enough we'll be back in our gardens doing our best to grow delicious food this year. We're talking about what to do with those fresh ingredients this hour with Susie Middleton. She's a cook, writer, and farmer who started commercially growing vegetables in 2010. She's the author of several books, including the latest, Fresh from the Farm, A Year of Recipes and Stories. She blogs at sixburnersue.com. And we invite you to join the conversation as well at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. You can also find us on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. That's where we heard from Amanda. She says, I would love to have more recipes for all those cucumbers that we tend to always have. You can only eat so many fresh cucumbers or pickles. Is that right, Susie? And what should Amanda do with all of her cucumbers?
Well, you know, we just started growing cucumbers last year, and so I haven't, you know, that's one of those things that I've had trouble with pests with, which is so funny. And I'm going to do an article on pickling later this year, so I have to grow a lot of cucumbers. But that salad I mentioned, I really enjoy, which is, really simple but delicious with grilled bread and tomatoes and feta cheese and herbs. I also do a really delicious gazpacho, which is all done in a blender, and it has a little bit of roasted bell pepper in it, in addition to a nice amount of cucumber and summer tomatoes, and that's delicious. And I do I think I mentioned the bib salad with the buttermilk dressing, and that buttermilk dressing, I also put on thinly sliced cucumbers, and I swap the herb out depending upon, you know, what you like. You can put cilantro but if you don't like it, which a lot of people don't, you could do dill or tarragon. And I keep that buttermilk dressing, which, you know, thickens up in the fridge but then thins out at room temperature and is really lovely on raw vegetables and especially cucumbers. That's a good one.
I was paging through your cookbook and noticed that you have a fair number of dessert recipes as well. How can we start using our fresh ingredients to make yummy desserts?
Well, I told you I was really excited about getting a chance to do that. And since we have a lot of eggs also, I combined berries and eggs. It's a really fun, simple French dessert called a clafoutis, which is basically a puffy pancake, which a lot of people may be familiar with. And you whiz up eggs and sugar and flour and a little bit of melted butter. It's almost like a popover batter in a blender. Pour that into a hot pan and then scatter berries, blueberries, We have black raspberries growing wild everywhere, which just totally floats my boat. I can't believe that we do, because, you know, moving from my suburban life to this place where there's wild berries is fun. But we grow blueberries too. So we put those in the custard and bake it in the oven, and it puffs up, and you dust it with confectioner's sugar, and that's really fun. We also have pears, which is really cool. So I've learned to, cook with firm, ripe pears. I let them sit until you can just sort of press on them gently. And then I do something really simple and fun with them called honey vanilla roasted pears. I cut the pears in half and put them in a baking dish and baste them with a little bit of melted butter and honey and either fresh ginger or vanilla until they're golden brown and soft. And you can eat those with vanilla ice cream, or you can dress them up. I've got a recipe in the book where I actually bake an oversized molasses crinkle cookie and top that with a little bit of ginger mascarpone, which is very simple to mix up in a bowl, and fan the little roasted pear over the top, and it makes kind of a fancy restaurant-style dessert. So the roasted pears are really versatile.
That sounds delicious. I also saw your chocolate chip zucchini and raspberry muffins. Tell us about those.
I'm just making those today, actually, because I'm doing a book signing this weekend for Fresh from the Farm at our local bookstore, and I'm bringing along the chocolate zucchini muffins, which have a whole grated zucchini in them and some fresh raspberries, and they're really moist and a great way. I know it's cheating, but I do have some recipes in the book that are for people to help their kids get more vegetables and fruits in them. So that one, you know, actually has both. And chocolate is good for us, as we know. So.
I'd eat a zucchini in a muffin.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there again, it, you know, contributes moisture. It makes a very nice muffin. So it's really more like a cupcake. But the other fun thing I do, I love to roast vegetables. And in this book, in the fall section, I do a couple methods with roasting butternut squash, which is, we grow and it's very popular. And one of them is just to cut the squash in half and put it cut side down on a sheet pan and bake it till the squash gets really, really soft, and then you can just peel the skin off of it. And then I use that baked squash in lots of different things, in soups, of course, but also in a yummy quick bread, which also has cranberries and ginger in it. Again, it's sort of like using canned pumpkin, only it's much fresher, and you can make a delicious snack bread or breakfast bread with that.
Betty in La Crescent emails, in the fall I brought two small potted heirloom tomatoes indoors just before frost, intending only to ripen the tomatoes hanging and then pitch the plant. The plants have thrived and are now 5 feet tall. What should I do with them this spring? Can a tomato be a perennial?
It can. Apparently in tropical locations, indeterminate tomatoes that are basically vines will just keep growing and growing and growing. I have no idea how long. I wish I could tell her, but yes, as long as it doesn't have any, sometimes when plants move indoors, they pick up, you know, indoor pests, and I would be careful about putting it near other new tomatoes, because it might, you know, might be harboring something, you never know. But if it's healthy, sure, it can go back outside and get, you know, hardened off again, and that would be pretty cool to find out how long it could grow for.
Thanks for that email, Betty. You can join the conversation as well at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Our email address is talk@WPR.org. And you can also find us on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We're talking with Susie Middleton, author of Fresh from the Farm, A Year of Recipes and Stories. We also heard from Chris from Wisconsin Dells. She says, you can saute cucumbers in butter, and it makes a wonderful accompaniment to fish. What do you think about that, Susie?
Oh, I like that idea because, you know, it reminds me, I actually cook radishes, too, which is another thing that people are sort of a similar idea as you think, oh, I've got to eat it raw. But, in fact, roasted radishes are delicious, and sautéed cucumbers. If you, I would take the seeds out first cause then and then keep the heat minimal so you keep a little bit of a nice firm texture. But that's a great idea, definitely. And I would put a little lemon or lime or some sort of acid to sort of perk it up after sautéing it.
This time of year is pretty much a dead zone, I would imagine, for fresh vegetables. What are you eating at this time of year, and how have you been storing it and keeping it fresh?
Well, a couple things. One, we raised 3 pigs this year, so we have a freezer of pork. So we're eating a lot of meat, but actually, I'm only partially kidding. We're eating vegetables too. As I mentioned, we do have some greens in the hoop house, but we also grew onions, and we stored them, and so we're still eating some of our own onions, which is nice. We've run out of potatoes and carrots of our own, but we have a winter farmers market here on the island. Our farmers were harvesting squashes and carrots and potatoes through Christmas, so we bought a bunch of that and cabbages. So I am cooking a lot of winter vegetables right mm-hmm. now. The squashes keep so well, and they're so versatile that that's kind of fun. But I feel like I always need a little something green, especially with all this pork. So I go down to the hoop house and get. I also tried collard greens this year, and they are still alive as well down there. But you know, even at the grocery store, I recommend that people. You know, all my recipes for Fresh from the Farm and my first 2 books, Fast, Fresh, and Green, and The Fresh Green Table, were developed with grocery store ingredients because I feel it's really important for people to be able to get what you're, you know, we don't, you know, all have access to fresh food all the time. We wish we did, but even in the grocery store, I would stick with seasonal vegetables because they're going to have traveled, you know, a shorter distance. They're going to be fresher. And then you can look forward to eating asparagus when it comes along in the spring.
We're talking with Susie Middleton, author of Fresh from the Farm, A Year of Recipes and Stories. She blogs at sixburnersue.com. And we're wondering what your questions are, what your favorite recipes are as the fresh ingredients come your way from the farmer's market or your garden. Our phone number is 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You can tweet us at Joy Cardine Show or email us at talk@WPR.org. I'm Cynthia Schuster in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking to Susie Middleton. She is the author of Fresh from the Farm, A Year of Recipes and Stories. And we're taking your calls at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@WPR.org. Dave in Milwaukee joins us. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, ladies. Hey, I was just, I heard you talking about the cucumbers and pickles. Yeah, I do a lot of, make my sweet pickles, you know, and I got that set up so I could do it fast, you know, as they come available. But, I was thinking about the cucumbers. Can you possibly freeze those, you know, and then later on, you know, use them in like a cucumber sauce or anything like that? Or would that be too mushy? Or
hi, Dave. Yeah, the thing with freezing vegetables is the more moisture they have in them when they go in, the less appealing they're going to be when they come out. So I would think you're right. I think that the cucumbers are going to be pretty darn mushy when they come out of the freezer. You know, unless there was some way to dehydrate or dry cucumbers, which I've never tried to do. You know, I do freeze things like roasted tomatoes because they have less moisture in them, you know, and they're delicious too. But it's I think that would be tricky.
I never tried freezing roasted tomatoes. That sounds like a good idea too. But I freeze them whole, and then you dip in the water and peel the skins off of them after they're frozen.
Yes, which is
I freeze a lot of fruit. Like whole blueberries, and apples, you know, and they can peel them and core them and slice them, and then you freeze them up just on a sheet pan and then pack them away. A lot of stuff you can just freeze.
Dave, we're having a hard time hearing you on the speakerphone, so let's have Susie. What do you think about that?
No, those are all great ideas. I love that, Dave. I freeze the whole berries on sheet pans and then put them in Ziploc bags, and same thing with the apple slices. And you said something else, which I want to, now I can't remember what
apples,
you said.
Apples, I think.
I was just thinking about that. But anyway, those are great ideas. Oh, I know. The method for freezing whole tomatoes is mm-hmm. a great one for people to know about, too, because if you're going to lose them, don't let them rot. Just put them in whole in the freezer. It's a great technique because then you can use them in sauce. You know, you're not going to eat them raw, but they're great that way. So that's a good idea.
So winter is a great time for soups. Do you have a favorite soup recipe you'd like to share with us?
Well, I'm a big minestrone fan, and so I do what I call an Indian summer fall vegetable minestrone with, I use a little bit of rind of Parmigiano cheese to flavor the broth, and I use, you know, pretty much a little bit of our greens, some corn if we've got it, some squash, and a little bit of pasta. I love that, and very easy, and that's something that people can get into their repertoire and vary it a bit. And then I talked about the squash. Everybody loves butternut squash soup, and I do one that has just a little bit of, it's finished with a tiny bit of coconut milk and a little bit of curry and a tiny bit of lime, and it has this really sublime texture and flavor. And I find people who don't normally like those flavors really enjoy that soup. So, and then I mentioned the summer gazpacho, and I do a couple. I love greens, and I love the combination of greens and pastas. So I do a simple spicy noodle and kale soup with soy sauce and ginger and garlic and that kind of thing. And then one where I use mustard greens, which I think people don't know that much about, and they're actually very tasty in a soup. I have a tortellini and sausage and mustard green soup, which I like a lot.
Is there any one vegetable that you particularly look forward to every single year?
Oh, probably corn. I guess it's just a childhood memory. I grew up in Washington, D.C., but spent my summers in Delaware, and there was, at the time, that was all farm country, and it grew beautiful Silver Queen sweet corn, and I just remember going out to the farm stand and seeing the trucks come in from the farm with all the ears of corn and that wonderful smell of fresh corn, and so I really look forward to that. And I think corn, I like to cut it off the cob and use the kernels in sautés. I do really wonderful corn sautés. I always start with a little bit of onion or garlic, add the maybe some peppers or a little bit of cut up green beans to the pan with some butter and olive oil, and then finish by adding the corn kernels in so they cook just for a few minutes. And maybe a little bit of, again, a lemon or lime at the end, and makes a really elegant but delicious and simple corn sauté. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I put a little bacon in them, but corn's really versatile if you cut it. I love to grill corn, and I love corn on the cob as well, but I just find that if you cut it off the cob, you can do a lot with it.
1-800-642-1234 is our phone number. 1-800-642-1234. What's your favorite vegetable to cook with? Are you actively seeking out ingredients fresh from the farm? What makes it special to you, and what makes them a rich experience in your kitchen? 1-800-642-1234. Susie, what should we be doing to prepare to plant this season? What types of steps should we have in mind?
Well, it's seed ordering time, so there's a ton of really wonderful seed catalogs out there. We use an organization called Fedco, but we love Johnny Seeds and High Mowing Seeds, and that's fine. So placing your orders now is really important because they tend to run out of some of the varieties. And I've got my eye on a new variety of cherry tomatoes called the Artisan Series, Tiger and Blush Striped and mottled cherry tomatoes, so people should look for those because they're new and they look really fun. So order now, and then think about your supplies, your tomatoes and eggplants and peppers. All those tropical vegetables have to get started in March if they're going to go out into the garden in late May or early June, which I'm thinking is probably I don't think your zone is too different from ours, actually. Mm-hmm. So those things take 6 to 8 weeks. You can always buy the plants at the nursery, too, but if you start a little bit yourself, you'll get some interesting varieties. So getting some really good seed starting soil. You can't start in potting soil. You need to get a soil mix that's sterile for starting your seeds, and a few growing lights, figure out how to get that going. And then, believe it or not, you can actually plant some lettuce pretty soon without growing lights or heating mats or anything, and it can be covered outdoors, you know, probably in about 6 or 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Karen in Genoa City emails, I have frozen cucumbers successfully using a recipe called Spicy Frozen Cucumbers. It can be found in Preserving the Harvest by Carol Kostenbader. It is a great tasty, crispy cucumbers recipe, and it's great in the winter. It's not really very spicy. Does that sound familiar to you at all, Susie?
Oh, no, I've never done that. That sounds, I was being serious, and I said I have not frozen cucumbers, mm-hmm. But that sounds really good, and maybe with all the spices, that, and maybe there's some salt that's firming up the texture, you know, keeping them firm, so probably a better idea than just freezing them alone, so it sounds good.
Do you taste the difference between your homegrown ingredients and the ones you buy at the grocery store?
Yeah, and I, you know, I hate to say that because, you know, it sounds cliched, but there really is a difference. I especially noticed that I never was a big carrot fan, but once I started growing my own carrots, the carrots that we grow are genuinely sweet. You pull them out of the ground, they have this amazing sweet flavor, whereas sometimes when I buy carrots at the grocery store, they're bitter, and I think that's because of the soil that they're grown in, which is either overworked or heavily fertilized, and carrots in particular, or other root vegetables, really pick up the flavor that they're grown in. So if you think about it, it's, you know, whatever they're grown in is pretty important to what's the nutrients that are going into them. So I really have sort of been blown away. Plus, there's so many vegetables like the tomatoes and pretty much everything that they don't retain their flavor really well days after being picked. So you have the time factor. So whenever you're able to buy food directly from a local source, a farm stand, a farmer's market, anything like that, or grow a little of your own, you will notice a big flavor difference.
Do you have a quick carrot recipe we could try out?
Let's see, what's my favorite? Yes, carrot fries. Quick roasted carrot fries. Just cut them into thin batons and toss them with olive oil and salt, and then I have a little dipping sauce, which is a little lemon and garlic and ginger, sort of mayo sour cream. It's called Roadhouse Dipping Sauce. So that's, it's kind of a variation. I did roasted sweet potato fries in Fast, Fresh, and Green, and so that was so popular, I thought, well, let's try carrot fries. So that's kind of fun.
Well, that sounds good. In our last minute here, what's your advice for people who might want to start their own gardens or even pick up and move out onto a farm?
Don't quit your day job right away and start small. That's worked really well for us. We've actually made a business in 4 years out of not going into debt by just doing it. Really, you can have a little garden and, you know, sell a few vegetables to your neighbors if you want to, or have a few chickens and sell your extra eggs and, you know, just get started that way to see if you like it, because it is hard work and it is very time consuming. And if you've got an opportunity to do it where you are and try it a little to see if you like it before you feel like you might need to move to a place where you can do it, it's a good idea to start small.
Well, Susie Middleton, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, Cynthia, it's been a lot of fun, and thank you, and good luck with your weather out there.
Thanks. Thanks so much. Susie Middleton is a cook, a writer, and a farmer who started commercially growing vegetables in 2010. She's now the author of Fresh from the Farm, A Year in Recipes and Stories. You can also read her blog at sixburnersue.com. Thanks to Christy Taylor for producing the hour and for on-air direction. Robin Cherry provided on-air production. I hope you'll join me tomorrow at this time. We'll be talking about the best romantic getaways in Wisconsin just in time for Valentine's Day. That's tomorrow at this time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Cynthia Schuster, in for Joy Cardine.